亲爱的奉献者们，今天我们的这个心与灵魂的连结的这个系列的课程呢，就是继续正常的进行。我们很荣幸今天又邀请到了 Uttama Mataji 和 Pater Prabhu 来给我们讲解心与灵魂的连接。他们是居士愿景团队的非常重要的资深的这个成员。专门呢就是领导着一个团队来探讨有关于奉献者的这个婚姻家庭生活以及沟通的一些问题。那么对，在他们也在全世界各地进行旅行，对很多的 Yatra 都做出了非常突出的贡献。最重要的是他们也都是非常专业的人士，无论从任何一个角度。所以呢，我想我们中国的奉献者，我们大部分的奉献者还是在这个婚姻当中，有的是夫妇都是奉献者，有的是其中有一位。那么我们其实也遇到了很多家庭的还有这个生活的问题，直接也会影响到我们的灵修。所以有这么资深的 Srila Prabhupada 的门徒来给我们做这个指导，我们是非常的幸运的。好，我们现在就正式的开始吧。Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna。
Hare Krishna, we're happy to be with you again。
非常高兴我们再次跟你们在一起了。
Today we're going to talk about a subject which is sometimes difficult to talk about.
我们今天要讲的这个话题呢，有的时候可以说是让大家觉得有些难以开口的。
That's the subject of physical affection and intimacy, or excuse me, affection and physical intimacy.
就是说between husband and wife, right?
Yeah, of course.
就是说 I have to
specify, you
know. 就是主要是指的是夫妻之间的爱，以及他们在躯体上的这种亲近。
I was asked to write the chapter in our book on this subject, and I was trying to decide what title should I give it.
但在这个书里面也有这么一章是专门来讲这个主题的，然后我也是在想，当时就是说在这章当中我应该冠以什么样的一个题目。
So, they have an expression in English, sometimes when there's something no one wants to talk about, they call it the hot potato.
在英语里面呢，有这么一句话，它是一个这么比喻，如果说一个问题比较棘手，或者说难以启齿呢，人们就把它说成是一个烫手的山芋。Yeah.
So I titled the chapter, Affection and Physical Intimacy, the Hot Potato.
所以呢，这个书里的这一章我就把它称为说成是爱和躯体的亲近，一个烫手的山芋。
So today we'd like to explore this topic and examine different aspects, such as different statements that Srila Prabhupada has made.
那么今天我们就是想来探讨一下这个主题，而且我们也会引用 Srila Prabhupada 的一些话原话来进行一个说明。
And we'd also like to examine how our attitudes on this subject have been affected by the social culture we live in and our upbringing in our communities.
而且呢，我也想谈到就是关于这个问题的一个态度是如何直接的影响到我们这个社团内部的一个氛围以及它的一种文化。
And also how we have been affected by the influence of the media, television, radio, movies.
还有呢，就是说我们是如何就这个问题受到各种媒体对我们的影响，比如说像电视啊、电影啊等等。
And then if we combine all of that into the practical reality that each of us as individuals are living in, We'd like to examine how we can negotiate that very complex reality.
另外呢，就是从我们个人的这个角度来看，因为我们每个人其实都是生活在这种实际的要面临这些问题的一些状况当中的。那么作为一个个体的话，这个我们要面对的这个问题其实挺错综复杂的，我们应该以什么样的态度去面对呢？
And so again, it's a very complex subject and sometimes difficult to talk about, but it is very important to address.
这个主题其实是比较错综复杂的，有的时候要去谈论它其实不太容易，但是我觉得还是一个非常重要的一个话题。
In English, sometimes it's referred to as the elephant in the room.
在英语里面有这么一个俗语，他就说就好比是一个房间里面的大象。
大象。
大象。Elephant in the room.
It would be very odd if there's an elephant in the room and everyone's ignoring it. No one wants to talk about it.
他就有一个暗含的一个比喻意思，就是说你看这么一个小房间里面却出现了一头大象，如果这个大象那么大那么醒目，但是大家却装作视而不见的样子，那可是有一点奇怪。
We need to ask, how did the elephant get in the room? What do we do with the elephant in the room?
那我们也不知道这个大象怎么就进了这个房间，然后既然它已经进了这个房间，我们该怎么办呢？
So again, this is what we want to examine.
那所以呢，这个就是说我们要深入的探讨一下的一个问题。
But if you study Srila Prabhupada's books in very detailed ways, sometimes you will find statements that seem contradictory.
如果你非常深入的去看 Srila Prabhupada 他在他的书里面所讲的一些话的话，那前后做比较的话，有时候你会发现似乎有一种矛盾之处，有点像矛盾。
Sometimes in his books and his letters and his personal instructions and conversations, you may see things which seem quite different.
那你在他的书里，还有在他的这个谈话当中，他的讲座中，还有他给门徒的信件当中，在不同的地方，有的时候说到同一个话题的时候，但是你做一个比较，你会发现好像他们有看似有一些矛盾。
One striking example is in one place. Srila Prabhupada describes that after the age of 50, everyone should take sannyas.
就是有一个特别醒目的一个矛盾之处，就是 Srila Prabhupada 曾经在书一些他的书里面的某些地方提到说，一个人到了50岁的时候就应当接受托钵僧的洗涤，就是成为一位 sannyasi。
And in another place, Srila Prabhupada says, in the age of Kali Yuga, no one should take sannyas.
但是在其他的一些地方，他又说到，在这个卡利年代呢，谁都不适合做 sannyasi.
So those two statements are in the same canto, same volume, same chapter, same purport, same paragraph.
Oh, 然后非常有意思的，这个是在in Bhagavata。在那个他的经典的同一篇里面，在某同一章，然后还是同一个要旨的同一段里面，就是有这个前后矛盾的这么两段话，在这个博雅尔坛。
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was once asked why these type of statements are there in the writings of the Acharyas and in Shastra.
那么有一次呢，就是有人询问说 Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati 为什么在 Acharya 们的这个书中会写到这样的内容，会有这样的语言呢？
And he described from the materialistic conditioned point of view, they appear as contradictions.
那么他的回答就是说，从这个物质的受局限的这个视角来看呢，表面上看起来的确是相互矛盾的。
And he said, when viewed on the liberated platform, there is no contradiction.
但是你要是从一种 更加宽阔的包容的这个视角来说的话，其实之间是没有矛盾的。
I would like to explore some of these statements in the context of today's subject and how to try to understand how to practically integrate those instructions in our lives.
所以呢，就是这个是跟我们今天的这个主题是息息相关的。我们就是要讲到在我们的实际的日常的生活当中，我们怎么样把这些看似矛盾的这个顺势都能够整合到一起，没有矛盾的融入到我们的生活中。
So here we'll just point out a few quotes which appear to be condemning sex life.
那么就是，然后接下来我要说的就是有这么一两段引言。这个引言呢，它是来这个指责性生活的。
Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 3:37, "It is lust only, Arjuna, which is born out of contact with the material mode of passion."
那就是说，在这个第薄伽梵歌的第三章的第37节来说 ，Krishna 他就说了，这个都一切都是来自于色欲，是源于和物质能量的接触。
And later transformed into wrath.
Later transformed into wrath. 然后之后又转换成为了愤怒。
And which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world.
就是它是这个世界上吞噬一切的大敌。
So also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, it's described materialistic life is based on sex life.
那么在圣典佛教法上第三篇当中也有这样的话，就是说这个物质的生活是基于性生活。
And in the 11th canto, you have a statement, by Prabhupada, the most wretched person is one addicted to sex pleasure.
然后呢，在第十一篇当中呢，又说到了，就是说一个最沉溺于性生活的人呢，是最可恶的，最可怜的。
So on the other side, you see Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says, "I am sex life, which is not contrary to religious principles."
那在薄伽梵歌的另外一个地方呢 ，Krishna 他又说到，我是不违背宗教原则的性生活。
And you will read how Prabhupada would say, "We are not against sex life; we are against illicit sex life."
然后呢，也看到过释迦牟尼佛说过这样的话，就是说我们并不反对性生活，我们反对的是非法性行为。
And how sometimes Srila Prabhupada, when brahmacharis were having a challenge remaining in the brahmachari ashram, Prabhupada would encourage them to get married and actually to have sex in married life.
那我们就是看到了，就是我们在帕帕的那个时代，有好多的这个真守生，他们要始终保持这种真守生活，面临着非常大的挑战。那么这个时候，释迦帕帕就鼓励他们结婚，甚至也让他们有这个婚内的性生活。
And there's also a statement in a conversation that Srila Prabhupada had with Hayagriva.
然后还有呢，释迦帕帕和 Hayagriva 有一个对话，里面他也说到这么一句话。
Which was, I was actually quite surprised to read.
其实当我读到帕帕的这句话的时候，我自己都感觉到挺吃惊的。
And Srila Prabhupada is describing how husband and wife, they live together peacefully.
那释迦帕帕就是说到了这个夫妻两个人呢，应当非常平和的生活在一起。
And the man is working very hard, and he comes home, and the wife prepares nice prasadam.
就是男人在外面工作非常的辛苦，回家之后呢，做妻子的要给他非常美味可口的 prasadam。
And then Srila Prabhupada, he says, and then they become satisfied by sex life, and their minds can become peaceful, and they can execute their real business, which is spiritual life.
然后释迦牟尼佛说之后呢，在此之后，他们夫妻双方都会感到内心非常的满足。他们通过这个性生活，就是达到一种内心的满足和平和。这样呢，他们就可以再继续的做正事。这个正事的意思就是说是灵修生活。
So again, these statements may seem contradictory, but on the spiritual platform, they're not contradictory.
所以说这些话呢，就是你表面上看起来是有些自相矛盾的，但是如果说我们在这个灵性的层面上来看的话，其实相互并没有矛盾。
And we understand how Srila Prabhupada described in the Bhagavad Gita how if one is not able to follow the highest principles,
因为我们也看到了，就是在《薄伽梵歌》里说到了，如果一个人他不能恪守更高的原则
，and if he is not resentful of these higher principles, he can gradually make advancement.
而且呢，他就是也不去憎恶这些更高的原则，那么他久而久之，慢慢的，他也是可以得到进步的。
So we have Srila Prabhupada, he sets the highest standard.
所以等于就是 Srila Prabhupada, 他列出了一个更高的标准。
And at the same time, there's a practical reality that each individual finds themselves in, and all of us as individuals have to negotiate how they eventually come to the highest platform.
那与此同时呢，我们每一个个体都有自己的非常实际的一些状况，每个人必须因人而异的根据自己的实际的状况来进行协调和调整，这样呢逐步的循序渐进的得到进步，一直达到这个最高的标准。
And so again, it's a very difficult subject because devotees, we want to come to that highest standard.
那这个话题谈起来其实是很不容易的，因为作为奉献者来说，每个人都希望要达到一个最高的标准。
However, sometimes that effort to make advancement can become problematic.
但是有的时候呢，就是这种想要达到最高标准的愿望呢，如果不得当呢，它也会创造出很多的麻烦。
In the sense that sometimes couples, in the effort to come to the highest platform, they start to minimize other types of interactions to avoid the attraction of sex.
那就是说，因为比如说夫妻两个人，他们两人都一心想要达到这种最高的这个标准，于是这个时候呢，为了双方都是为了要避免性生活对他们的这种吸引力，所以他们也又忽略了生活当中其他的一些方面。
I'll describe in the first canto how these kinds of feelings we have, like affection, hankerings, feelings of attraction, even anger, those feelings cannot be annihilated.
就是在薄伽瓦坛的第一篇当中，施拉帕帕也讲到，就是说我们对爱的那种渴求，甚至有的时候的那种愤怒，这样的一种情绪是没有办法完全的消灭的。
And he described affection as being a symptom of life.
那么他是这样描述的，他说其实那种爱就是生命的一个象征，生命的一个标志。
And so, I have a pulse in my body, and if you can feel my pulse, you know I'm alive.
这个就好像是你的 你可以把脉。如果你伸手给一个人手拉过来把脉之后，这个脉搏是跳动的，你就知道他是活着的。
And if you feel my pulse is becoming very weak, then you know I must be very ill.
如果呢，你发现我的脉息非常弱的话，你就知道我可能病得不轻。
And if my pulse stops, I'm going to be dead.
如果说我已经没有了这个脉搏的话，那肯定已经死了。
So in the same way, our affection for others, it's also a symptom of life, as Srila Prabhupada described.
所以呢，施乐泡泡呢，他也是这样描述说，就是说我们对别人的那种亲近和爱的那种感觉，其实它也是生命的一个表征。
So the difficulty is sometimes couples, they'll stop being affectionate with each other, they'll stop maybe sharing their feelings with each other, they'll stop doing things with each other.
那有的时候就会这样，夫妻两个人如果再也没有什么亲密之举了，然后也不很亲近的去沟通啊，然后两人的比较亲密的那些事情都停止，完全都不做了。
Because they're afraid it will lead to some sexual attraction.
因为他们很害怕，就是被这个过度到了这个性的吸引当中。
And we see the result of that sometimes is because, as Prabhupada says, affection is the need of life, it manifests, when its affection is denied, it manifests in very perverse ways.
那因为释迦牟尼佛说了，这样的一种亲近的爱就是一种生命的表征。那换句话说，当一个人他其实有这种需求的时候，但是你去压抑他，生生的把他阻止的话，就会产生一些非常负面的一些问题。
And that can be extramarital affairs, pornography.
有的时候可能就会出现一些婚外的那种婚外情、婚外恋，或者说有的时候就是被那些色情、黄色的这些东西所吸引。
Which has catastrophic consequences.
这个实际上是可以说是灾难性的结果、后果。
There's this really wonderful purport in the verse in the 10th canto where it's explained that in the material world, Rajagun is manifest as passion.
那么在这个圣典薄伽瓦坛的第十篇里面呢，其中有这么一段话，就是说在这个物质世界里面，那个 Rajagun 就是激情形态呢，展示出来的就是一种热情和情欲。
But when it's expressed spiritually in spiritual dynamics, it's actually the affection which maintains devotees.
那么如果是在一个灵性的维度这种 Rajagun 的激情形态展示出来的时候呢，实际上它正好就是可以维系了一个奉献者在奉献服务当中的热情。
So, like we see in the material world, a person who has way too much passion, Rajagun, they can just, it can be this intense desire for like personal gratification.And it can lead a person to be really self-absorbed.
那么在这种物质的层面上，我们看到有些人，他们就是，是燃烧的那种 Rajagun， 就是那种激情形态。那可能就是这个人就是总是沉溺于感官的享乐，而且是深深的，就是沉溺于其中无法自拔。
And then my husband explained, and then extreme is my husband.Was explaining it can lead to degradation.
那么如果是发展到一种极端的现象，就像是我的帕布刚才所说到的一样，可能就是一种堕落。
So our philosophy is that lust should be transformed into love, not just simply suppressed.
好，所以呢，在我们的这个哲学里面的这个原则是要把色欲转化成为爱，而不是说是压抑它。
Because we see that if we suppress it in an immature way, it's going to eventually lead to the fact where we can't have affection for anybody, including Krishna's devotees. You just end up a grumpy, angry person.
因为如果说我们以一种非常不成熟的一种方式一味的去压抑的话，那么这个人最后可能就会变成一个内心当中没有丝毫爱的一个人，而且总是抱怨不休，对任何人都非常的厌恶，而对这个奉献者也非常的不友好，总是喜欢那个抱怨来抱怨去，那种满脸的拉整天的这种拉长着脸那个样子。
So, to have affection, it implies there's a relationship. You have to value them. You have to appreciate them.
那这里人跟人之间是有这种关系的，你要去就是珍视这种关系的这种价值，也去欣赏这种关系。
And it's through that affection that you can transform the lust into love.
那通过一些爱的举动呢，你就可以把这种色欲转变成为爱。
So we need to have loving dealings. You know, love is a verb.
爱是一个动词，所以我们这个爱是要转变成为行动去表达的。
We give a hug, we give kind words, we offer help, we say thank you.
比如说我们说一些比较温和的话，去感受跟别人说道谢，然后呢谢谢，然后或者是帮助别人，或者说呢给对方一个亲热的拥抱，这个都是我们表达爱的方式。
Even just the ability to take the time to understand something from another person's point of view, that's affection.
或者呢，愿意花这个时间设身处地的从对方的角度去理解对方的处境，这个本身也是一种爱的表达。
And then, you know, as we develop affection, we also develop the service attitude.
那么当我们内心当中有了这样一种爱意之后呢，那么就会进一步就会有了一种仆人的一个良好的心态。
And we see that's the position of the soul, the service attitude.
那这样的一种服务的一种心态呢，这恰恰就是灵魂的一个特征。
So we also see that, you know, because our soul is stuck in this material body, there's going to be the desire to express affection will be manifest in a conditioned way, a sex desire also.
那么因为我们这个灵魂是被禁锢在这个肉体当中的，所以但是灵魂本性它又有一种爱的这种愿望，所以他总是会用各种方法想要试图去表达这种爱。那么当他是被扭曲的这种方式，受局限的这种方式去表达的时候呢，他就会表达出一种物质的这种情感，那么比如说就像这种性欲。
So I mean everybody understands that conditioning is there.
我们大家都知道了，这每个人都受这个的局限。
And we read in scriptures that conditioning, it has this binding effect, you know, binds you to the material world.
那我们经典里面就是讲到了这种性欲，其实它就是把我们深深的束缚在这个物质世界，捆绑着我们。
And we see that like sex outside of marriage, it can really result in promoting irresponsible behaviors.
然后呢，我们也看到了这个现实的状况，就是婚外的那种性爱，如果是情爱这种，如果它是不加限制的话，甚至是鼓励的话， 那他实际上也是在鼓励一种不负责任。
So that's why sex in the scriptures is supposed to be just in marriage, because we have to take responsibility for the outcome and the relationship, and that assuming responsibility helps to minimize that binding effect.
所以说呢，在经典里说呢，性生活一定要只是局限于这个家庭的生活之内的，因为呢，就是我。婚内的这个性生活它也一样有后果，但是婚内的人他会为这个后果去负这个责任，那么这种责任感呢就可以抵消到性生活本身给我们带来的束缚。
So like on one extreme we can see that sex can cause one to be exceedingly selfish and cause one to be really self-absorbed、
那从某一方面我们可以看到，就是性生活可能会让一个人极度的自私，而且极度的这种自我中心、自我沉溺。
And then we see in our Vaishnava tradition, we have really knowledge of magnanimous forms of sex.
那么在这个Vaishnava 的这一面呢，我们又看到了对于这个性生活有一个更加包容的一种视角。
It's Garbhodan Samskara, like it's a rite which leaves like a lasting spiritual impression on a soul that needs to take a material body.
那么因为这个性生活也是这个 Samskara, 就是其实就是母亲受孕，它也是 Samskara 这个一个非常重要的一步。那它是一个灵魂在这个物质世界出生，也就是获得躯体的。这个过程当中的一个极其非常重要的 一步，它是带有这种深深的烙印的。
So we see in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, we can find the pinnacle of everything.
所以你会看到在这个 Gaudiya Vaishnava 中的这个哲学当中，所有的一切你都可以看到它的一个极致，一个顶峰。
So we see in this Garbhodan Samskara, it's a special purificatory rite.Where a couple would first chant many rounds, Prabhupada suggested 50, before they would try to conceive a child.
那么我们看到了就是 夫妻受孕的这个，就是相当于是一个孕诞的Samskara, 这样的一个受孕的这一刻之前呢，经典里面会推荐说这个夫妻两个人都要有足够的念诵，那是推荐有50圈的这个念诵。然后才开始就是结合去孕育这个孩子。
So having intercourse only once a month on the day most suitable for conception, after you first purify your consciousness, that's considered to be equal to brahmacharya.
所以说呢，对于这个居士来说的话是这样建议的，一个月只有一次的性生活，而且要在那一天最容易受孕的那一天夫妻两个人行房，那么这个也其实就可以说就是一个 Brahmachari 真守身的高标准了。
So, we have, you know, both ends of the spectrum, and where are we, and how to get to where we want to be.
所以呢，我们就是看到了这两端的这个，我们都看到了，在这个之间其实是有一个很长的一个过渡的一个频谱的。那我们究竟是在这里面的哪一个位置呢
？So, we do understand that sex life is only allowed within marriage.
那首先我们是要非常明确的知道，的确是性生活只能是局限于婚姻之中。
And that itself is a religious principle, sex only in marriage.
那么这个实际上是一个宗教的原则，也就是说，只是局限于家庭，对，局限于婚姻中的这个性生活是符合宗教原则的。
And then we also have the high religious principle that sex should only be performed after purificatory rites for having a child.
那同时我们又看到了有关于性生活的一个最高的一个标准，就是说当这个受孕之前，夫妻两个人结合之前，一定要经过一个净化仪式。
So, marriage gives one the ability to try to come to that high platform.
所以呢，婚姻其实是帮助一个人逐步的就达到了那个最高的标准。
And how everybody gets there may be individual.
但是每一个人他究竟是怎么样才能够达到这个最高的这个标准呢？这个可能就是因人而异的了。
Because we see that sex desire, it varies in individuals, just like I have blue eyes and you probably have dark eyes.
那么因为这个性生活这件事情可能真的就是因人而异的，就好比说我的眼睛是蓝色的，而你们的眼睛可能是黑色的。
So how are we going to take the body and the conditioning we have, and how are we going to spiritualize it to gradually advance in devotional service?
那我们的这个躯体，这个肉体是客观存在的，而且是受条件限制的。我们怎么样才能够把这个肉体，物质的肉体灵性化，并且呢，逐步的就是让它投入到灵性的服务、奉献服务之中去呢？
So we see that in Srila Prabhupada's books, sometimes he would say that sex, illicit sex life is sex life not for procreation.
那在Srila Prabhupada的书里面，我们也看到有的地方，当他说到这个非法性行为的时候，他的定义就是说不是出于生育目的而做的性行为。就是属于非法性生活了。
And sometimes he would define illicit sex life as sex outside of marriage.
那有的时候呢，他的这个定义又有所不一样，就是说婚外的性生活就被认为是非法性生活。
So there's a little bit of a, you know, a spectrum there that you have to work within.
所以这个就好像色谱一样的，不是这么非黑即白的，一个比较宽泛的一个范围。问题就是说，你怎么去面对，怎么去理解是什么？
Within our society, we have different initiating spiritual masters who have different views on the principles. Some insist on very, very strict standards.
那在我们的这个社团当中呢，有很多不同的启迪的灵性导师，而这些启迪的灵性导师呢，他们对这个问题的就是观点也是有一定的差异的。有一些人呢，就把这个性生活的问题看得非常非常的严格。
And there's some who consider maintaining the marriage vow is more important than the vow about no illicit sex.
那而有一些灵性导师呢，就是认为就是坚守这个婚姻的这个誓言，比起去坚守这个所谓的这个非法，就是不做非法性生活，换句话说就是不为了生育的目的而行的这个性生活，那这个的话要重要的多。
One of our godbrother gurus, he considers there is illicit sex with a capital I and illicit sex with a small I.
那我们有一个神兄弟，他就是一位灵性导师，他就是对这个 illicit 就是我们中文翻译成的非法。那么他说他就有两个不同的说法，一个是大写的，一个是小写的，就这个一个是大写的 I， 一个是小写的一个 I。
The capital is sex outside of marriage. Extramarital.
这个大写的 I 呢，就是非法性生活。它的定义就是这个非法，意思就是婚外性行为。这个是大写的这个 I， 这就非常非常非法了。
And the small I is sex within marriage, but maybe not strictly for procreation.
那么还有这个小写的爱，就是这个非法的程度没有那么严重的，那么就就是指的，就是说在这个婚姻当中，它不是出于生育的目的的性行为。
And he does not consider that small I illicit sex to be breaking the principle.
他并不认为在婚姻当中如果是不出于生育的目的的性生活是违背我们的四项规范原则，他不认为这个是一个违背。
And we also see sometimes gurus may advise their disciples if they're struggling with this issue to acquiesce to sex.
What?
To give in to the desire.
Okay, silently accept. Okay, 有的就是 agree silently, 明白？就是说，就是有的 guru 呢，他就是其实在这个婚内的。不出于生育目的的性行为呢，他其实就是把它默认了的，他没有直接说，但是是默认了，就是说你如果这样的话也不算是违背。
But from our point of view, sex may and may not save a marriage.
那就我们的这个观点来说的话，我们觉得这个性生活有可能可以挽救一个婚姻，也可能根本就挽救不了一个婚姻。
In the material world, sex life is the norm, and divorce rate is 50% or higher in many places in the world.
你就比如说，在我们的这个物质世界里面，我们可以看到了这个婚，就是这种性生活是无处不在的。但是你会发现。这个离婚率也是高居不下的，在很多地区就有50%甚至更高的离婚率。
So as Uttama was saying, there's many ways to be affectionate.
所以呢，我们的意思就是说，其实事实上，夫妻两个人要保持就是要维持这样的一种相互的爱，是可以有各种方法的，不一定要通过这个性生活。
That we can affectionately do shared activities together.
比如说两个人一起做一些事情，共同去分享做这件事情时候的快乐。
And we can exchange joking words together.
那相互呢，还可以开玩笑逗乐，这也是一种爱的交流。
Cook together, read together.
We can, yeah, serve together.
一起做饭，一起读书。
So there's many ways to be affectionate, and they're all very important.
所以呢，相互的这种爱的表达可以有各种各样的方式，而且其他的这些方式也都是非常的重要的。
And all those different types of affectionate exchanges and exchanges in love, they're like different factors in an equation.
那么就是说呢，在我们的生活当中，这种点点滴滴的这种夫妻之间两人的这种爱的交流，就好像是一个方程式里面的不同的数字一样，不同的因素。
And one factor in that equation is going to be the sexual attraction.
那么在这个方程式当中，其中的一个因素。这个因子当然就是我们刚才提到的这个性生活。
So if you have that equation and you only consider the factor of sex desire, you're going to get the wrong sum at the end.
那在这个方程式等式当中，如果说你把这个性生活看得那么的重要，然后忽略了其他的很多很多的因子，很多的这个数字的话，你最后累积起来加起来的时候，你得到的这个答案就肯定是错的。
And if you don't properly consider that factor in relation to the other aspects of the equation, also it may cause some problem in calculating the sum.
那如果是你就是忽略了其他的那些因素的时候，那可能这个答案呢就是错的。 但是如果你忽略了性生活的这个因素的话，有可能有的时候这个得出来这个答案也是不准确的。
So the view of the Grass Division team is we do not tell couples what to do or what not to do.
所以说对于我们这个知识愿景团队的成员而言，我们不会针对某一对具体的夫妇直接的告诉他们说你应该怎么做或者你不应该怎么做。
Rather, we encourage couples to very carefully understand there's many ways to have healthy exchanges and interactions in marriage.
我们是鼓励这些夫妻能够更加的关注在一个幸福的婚姻当中的很多其他的一些因素，很多其他的这种爱的交流方式，我们鼓励他们去关注一个更广的一个途径。
In order to maintain a heart-heart connection,
那这样才会能够维持一种非常健全的心与心之间的沟通和交流。
And again, that factor of sex desire is something that couples will have to negotiate in that whole picture.
那么关于性生活的这个问题，就好像是我们说到的这个等式当中的一个，也是一个重要的因素。那夫妻两个人呢，他们就要共同去，针对这个问题要共同的去商议，沟通。
And the reason you have to negotiate it is because you each have different bodies and you have different ways of going about it, so that's why you have to negotiate.
那为什么两个人他还是要在这个上面商议，甚至可以说像是一种谈判一样的，是因为夫妻两个人本身躯体是不一样的，对于这件事情的他的这种感受也是不一样的，所以两个人他不是完全一致的，就得要相互的去协商和谈判。
See, sex life, it's neither good nor bad. It's just how you deal with it.
其实性生活本身不能绝对的说它是好还是坏，关键是你怎么去面对它，怎么去处理它。
For some people, some sex life is a strategy to achieve the highest platform.
对有一些人来说，性生活甚至可能像是一种策略一样，通过这个策略，它可以达到一个更高的一个目的。
For another person, it might hinder their spiritual life, like a brahmachari.
对另外一个人来说，性生活这件事情一旦打破的话，可能就会意味着他的那个灵性生活的一个终结，就好像一个遵守身，就可能就会栽在这件事情之中。
So in terms of our principles and values of a successful Krishna conscious grihastha life, it's very important that we draw on this principle of family love and affection.
所以呢，对于一个我们所讲求的一个非常健康的有爱的这样的成功的一个居士家庭生活而言的话呢，我们的确要非常的去关注就是夫妻双方之间的这种爱的交流，爱的关系。
And in this context, it's very important that we also draw upon this principle of open and honest communication.
那在这个我们的这个 ISKCON 的这个社团当中呢，我们也应当是鼓励大家以一种比较开放式的这个态度来谈论和这一点有关的种种话题。
Because it's not something you want to just sweep under the carpet and ignore.
就这样的一件事情，你不能说只是把它像扫地，把它藏到那个地毯下面，然后装作看不见的样子去忽略它。
If you keep sweeping the issue under the carpet, eventually there's going to be a big bump and you're going to trip on it.
那就是如果说你总是不断的把这个垃圾往地毯下扫，最后这个地毯就变得越来越高，都拱起来了，你就得摔在那上面了。 就会把你绊倒的。
See, we understand that many of your congregation may be married to people who are not practicing Vaishnava devotional service.
然后我们也知道，对于你们的这个团体来说的话，可能有很多的奉献者，他们的这个婚姻的对象，他们的配偶是那些没有在遵循 Vaishnava 奉献者生活原则的。
And so you may have to consider that illicit sex is just simply sex outside of.
We interpret it as illicit sex outside of marriage, right? 所以对我们来说呢，我们应该把这个非法性行为理解成为是婚姻之外的性生活，叫做非法性生活。
And to understand that you're still following the regulated principles.
那么你要知道，你还是要去遵循这个四个规范原则。
In Nairobi, there was a bunch of Indian girls joining, and there was no suitable devotee husbands for them.
They have devotee husbands with them, right?
No, they joined single, and there was, you know, their parents wanted them to be married, and there was nobody for them to marry.
Okay. 就是在内罗毕呢，有一些非常年轻的一些单身的那些女孩子，她们加入了 Krishna 之觉，但是呢。就是他们的父母就是希望他们结婚，但是他们很难找到这个合适的奉献者丈夫。
And Srila Prabhupada, he says, so they can marry some, you know, nice Hindu gentleman.
他们都是一些印度人，所以Srila Prabhupada就说，那你们可以嫁给一些非常品性非常端正非常不错的一些印度的绅士啊，这个也是可以的。
Now, he knows that that Hindu gentleman is not going to follow our high Vaishnava standards in terms of sex.
他是非常清楚的，在这里所说到的那些印度的这些绅士，就是说还是比较好的一些君子风范的一些印度人，我们就不能给他有一个太高的要求了，特别是说到这个关于这个性生活的这个问题，他们没有办法做到像奉献者那种严格的高度。
But it's very dharmic for the woman to be married and have that protection and that, you know, security to advance nicely in spiritual life.
那作为一个女人来说的话，她就结婚生子，有一个非常安稳的一个家，然后有一个非常稳定的无忧的这样的一个生活环境，他就不会有不安全感，同时他能够很好的去灵修，这个本身也是符合 Dharma， 也就是符合这个正法，符合道的。
So maybe we'll open it up for questions.
那现在我们
Make it easy though.
我们现在可以留些时间给大家提问了，大家可以畅所欲言。今天这个话题的确是我们平常不太会就是完全开放式的去谈的。
Is this from last week?
Let me take a look. Not yet.
Did you want to say actually, okay.
那就等大家提问的时候我先问一下。Because it's really a coincidence. Just yesterday, one devotee, one Mataji, a young lady, called me, and she was married to a devotee, but who was not chanting 16 rounds just a few months ago, and now she's about to get initiation. So she asked me the question about this, the definition of this illicit sex life.And she is very, very young. So I think today, this class, I should send to her, and that will be very helpful for her. Because she even asked me, is it proper if I asked my guru about this question? Because her guru is a super strict sannyasi guru. So maybe I can ask you the same question on behalf of her. 我刚才讲呢，就是 特别巧，昨天正好有一个奉献者，一个非常年轻的 Mataji 给我打了一个电话，因为他准备要快启迪了，所以呢他就问我有关这个非法性生活的这个问题。因为他也嫁给了一个奉献者丈夫，但是他的丈夫并没有念诵十六圈，还没有启迪，所以对这个问题他比较困惑，所以他就问了我一个问题，我是不是应该要问一下 Guru 呢？那他的 Guru 是一个极其严格的一个终身遵守的这样的一个Sannyasi Guru。所以我说我正好可以替他来问一问Uttama Mataji 和 Partap。
It's a little tough because somebody else needs to find out that guru's bottom line. And not every guru has the broad life experience that Srila Prabhupada had. And they may have differing views. What can I say?
那其实这个问题要回答起来是有一些棘手的，得有一个人能够想办法查知到他的这个 Sannyasi 的 Guru 的一个底线是什么。因为 Guru 和 Guru 之间不一样， Sannyasi 呢他们不一定在人生当中有这么丰富的一些经验，所以对这个问题的这个观点可能也是会有点不一样的，所以这个不好说。
Did you want to comment, Radhakaran, on anything? Or?
It's such a complex issue when actually it's not that complex.
这个看上去是一个很复杂的一件事情，一个问题，但实际上也不那么的复杂。
In what sense?
I think that there is such a high expectation to reach the highestlevel of Krishna consciousness
as soon as possible
that there is no way that we have time to consider the reality of our samskaras, the background, our upbringing as a kid, the stuff we did when we were kids, how we grew up, the kind of friends we had, and suddenly boom,we move into the ashram, and then suddenly, you know, the almond starts to hit the brain. I mean, we heard it so many times. The brahmachari comes back from Sankirtan, tells the temple president, I'm sexually agitated. Okay, you're getting married. What does that mean? Poor girl. Poor girl. Okay, that's one point.
And
how does she got translated?
Sorry, I don't have a very good memory. 就是说，然后长发不干的意思呢，就是说，那个奉献者其实就是在这样的一种氛围当中，大家都是挺迫不及待的，都想瞬间啊，甚至一蹴而就，马上都成为一个纯粹的奉献者，然后以至于我们都没有时间去慢慢看一个人他之前到底他人生之中就是在成为奉献者之前他经历的都有些什么，比如说他出生在一个什么样的家庭，他小时候的经历是怎么样的，换句话说就是每个人其实他一生当中都有不同的这个 samskara 有不同的这个烙印的，都会对这个人产生这个影响，他的家庭关系怎么样，他在怎么样的一个环境当中长大，然后呢很多比如说这些 brahmachari 他们一下子成了奉献者就立刻就搬到了这个 ashram 就是这个修院里面跟大家一起生活，天天就去派书了，等于说一下子这个生活的就拔得很高，一下子就是一个奉献者的一个非常严格的生活，所以我们经常以前就遇到这种情况，一个 brahmachari 到外面去派书，派书回来之后就跟那个庙里面的庙长承认错误，说我在外面我今天受到了色欲的诱惑，然后那个庙长马上就说那好你赶紧准备结婚吧，就挺可怜的，就这么简单的就给他决定了他的命运了。
Then you have you know the vows thatYou know, young couples take, you know, they join the ashram, then they stay brahmachari for 5-6 years, And then at 25, 26, they decide to get married. And then at the time of initiation, no illicit sex. I mean, who are we fooling here?
Mm-hmm.
And the terminology that the guru is expecting to hear is no illicit sex. That's good enough. Not no illicit sex outside of marriage. Because then everybody will start thinking, oh, so you've got some other plans. But actually, it's the elephant in the room all the time. No one wants to talk about it, and it's right in front of you 24/7.
Oh, 你就是说有这个意见，还有一个现象也是非常的普遍的。 比如说一个年轻的Prabhu和年轻的Mataji， 他们都搬到这个庙里面来，很年轻啊， 20岁出头，然后在庙里一个Brahmachari，一个Brahmacharini， 过了这么四五年、五六年，然后都到了25岁、25岁左右了，然后他们就决定结婚了，然后就在这个婚，在火祭。 就是启迪的这个仪式上面，就是说要发誓说没有非法的性行为，那这个就对很多人来说，几乎可以说是不太可能的一件事情。你在愚弄谁呢？因为很多人是做不到的，所以很多其实guru他是期待你只是发誓说没有非法性生活，并没有说一定要说没有这个。 就是说没有不把他说的那么的细，因为你一旦说的细的话，那意思就是说，你的那个潜台词言下之意就是说，还是有可能在婚姻当中还是可以有这个不为了生育孩子而有的这种性生活的。所以等会儿我再补充一下，最后来的长发布就是说，其实这个问题就是一个屋子里面的一个大象。 其实就在我们的眼前这么堵着呢，大家只不过就是说装作看不见的样子，然后并没有去公开的去谈这个问题。但实际上，这个问题对很多奉献者来说，可能每天都要遇到的。You
know, before you actually go through a transformation where the philosophy and your own dedication to devotional service kicks in to really put the fire out, you have to assume your responsibilities.
就是说呢，在那个你的这个哲学已经积累到一定的高度，然后你在奉献服务当中的践行已经积累到一定的程度，然后你把这种使得它的效果就是把你的这种欲望啊、性欲啊的火都能够压下去了。在这之前的话，
我想每个人都应当要去考虑他的责任是什么。And that's why marriage is such a fertile place to figure that out.
Yes.
Because.
Yes.
所以说呢，婚姻其实就像是一片非常肥沃的一片土壤。进入婚姻的这种居士，其实就可以借助这个婚姻去把这个问题给它解决掉。
Because in marriage, you actually have to be responsible. You have to be responsible for the outcome. You have to be responsible for how your dealings affect the other person.
因为在婚姻当中呢，你必须要学会你怎么样去履行你的责任，你怎么样去行使你的责任感，然后你怎么样去爱对方，怎么样向对方去照顾对方，向对方表达这种爱。
You have to be responsible for the kids that come out of it.
还有一个,
so many things you have to be responsible for. And so that purifies you.
而且呢，结了婚之后，夫妇两个人他们在一起，那接下来就会有孩子，同样对这个孩子也是要负起这个责任的。所以整个婚姻的这个过程，实际上就是在学习怎么样履行职责，怎么样自我进化。 Okay, I think we have a question here. Can we?
Okay.
Or you have other thing?
Yes.
You
good?
Yuvati Golangi. 提问说，明白老师，你们奉献者们在中国大部分家庭，
Maybe people won't want their names mentioned.
It's a general question. Doesn't matter. 在中国大部分家庭的另一半都不是奉献者，针对这种情况，作为奉献者该 如何去面对另一半对性的需求呢？作为妻子服从丈夫，服务丈夫也是一种责任，对吗？所以感觉有时候很矛盾。感恩老师的指点。In China, for most of the devotees, the Mataji, the other one is not a devotee. So, but as a devotee, how to face the sexual needs of his wife or her husband? As a wife, to be obedient to the husband or to serve the husband is also a responsibility. Is that right? So sometimes I feel there's really conflict, contradictory. Can you please give us some guidance?
What's the conflict?
The conflict is, on one hand, you have to be responsible to, as a wife, to perform your duties for a husband, but the husband has sexual needs, and you are not supposed to, you know, have sex life. I mean, many devotees would think like that within the marriage, not for the child. So then you don't do it, so there's a conflict.
Right. So therefore, you have to talk about your actual needs, how you're going to progress, how you're going to regulate it so that you can work it out. I think you don't expect instant results.
就是这个是需要一些时间的，你要分析一下自己的生活，自己的现状，然后再看怎么样去解决这个问题。你是没有办法期待说马上就会有这个结果， especially when the other is not a devotee, non-devotee husband.
Even if you're both devotees, it doesn't mean that you're both 100% pure devotees.
对，我说呢，特别是对方他还不是奉献者，然后 Mataji 说呢，即便你们两个都是奉献者，可是你们两个都不是纯粹奉献者，还是会面临这些问题的。
And having sex desire doesn't mean you're a fallen soul. It means you're in the material world.
而且呢，有这种性欲并不意味着你就是一个极其堕落的一个灵魂了，只能说明你还在这个物质世界。
You know, it just means I'm trying to practice spiritual life. I have some desires. How am I going to deal with it in such a way that ultimately I'm going to be purified?
就是说呢，我是一个很想修习，也是很想有灵修生活的一个人，我很想灵修，但是与此同时不可避免的会有一些性欲，那么我怎么样才能去面对我有的时候会冒出来的这个性的这种欲望，然后我怎么样做我才能慢慢慢慢的把这种欲望清除掉呢，才能够得到净化呢？Yeah. Anything else? There's one devotee commented that, thank you very much, for your wonderful class. It's very timely and also very practical.
Yeah.
You're, addressing an unspoken, delicate issue.
I have a question regarding, you know, to deal with those issues, you need to be able to open up, not just to your partner, but to people who are senior.
本来常他不补充说呢，其实要去面对这些问题的话，不光是要对你的配偶敞开心扉，去直面这些问题，而且还要向一些更加年长的奉献者去倾诉请教。
And you have to have someone that you really completely trust in quite a substantial friendship and respect.
Yeah.
而且呢，你还要选择这样的一个你去倾谈的这个对象，就是你非常的信任他，也是非常的尊重他的。
Because forget about the sannyasi gurus, they're just out of the picture.
现在我们可以先不去考虑那些 sannyasi guru, 那些托钵僧的这些 guru.
So, I mean, where do you find mentors and, you know, people you can turn to?
我们从哪里去找到这样的指导者？你可以去求助于他们，去询问这些相对比较私密的话题呢？
I mean, someone who is quite
mature, happily married, older grihasthas.
就是年纪已经比较大了的，而且非常成熟的夫妻关系。相处的非常好，婚姻非常愉快的这样的夫妇，这个是最适合你的比较。
When we started doing this, I thought, okay, maybe we're a little too liberal, you know?
我们刚开始去讲关于这个性生活的这个话题的时候，我们有一点就是犹豫，有一些打定主意，拿捏不好，就是觉得我们是不是有点太宽了，太包容了一点。
Then we spoke to maybe 25 Prabhupada disciples who were in good standing, chanting their rounds, very active in devotional service, and they all had come to the same conclusion that Prabhupada gave people space to advance.
然后我们就请教这个25位就是施拉帕帕的门徒，他们都是那些特别奉献特别投入的，然后念诵啊然后灵修服务都是极其精进的，而且还都承担了一些比较重要的这个服务的那些奉献者。我们跟他们请教，他们是跟他们讨论，他们都一口同声的说，希拉帕帕其实对于这个问题他是非常包容的。
Which means that process is successful.
换句话说，这个程序是成功的。
They've been through it, they worked it out, and they're happily, strongly engaged in devotional service.
而且他们都是在就是在奉献服务当中是非常的热情投入的。
We discussed this with Radhanath Maharaj. We discussed this once with Radhanath Maharaj.
有一次呢，我们跟 Radhanath Maharaj 探讨过这个问题。
And he described how Prabhupada, in his writings, in his books, he sets the highest uncompromising standards.
他说呢，说帕帕他在书里面他讲过这个最高的原则，而且指的是绝不妥协的这个最高原则。
And in his interactions with devotees, he was very compassionate and understanding in seeing how to help devotees gradually move forward.
施拉帕帕，那在施拉帕帕他实际的情况下跟奉献者进行交流，然后了解奉献者的实际情况的时候，他又是极其的仁慈的。他知道怎么样在奉献者的实际的状况的基础上面去帮助他们，使他们能够逐步的得到进步。Okay.
And Srila Prabhupada himself, he once said he wanted devotees to become independently thoughtful.
而且 Srila Prabhupada 他是有这样的一个愿望的，希望奉献者们都能够有独立思考的能力。
In all fields of knowledge and action.
就是在这个知识以及行动的各个方面都要有主见，有一个独立的思考的精神。
And so it's very important that we all as individuals have to come to terms with the individual situations we are in.
所以说呢，作为我们每一个个体来说的话，我们要首先要正确的看一看自己到底是处在一个什么样的一个状况里面。
And see how we can gradually progress and move forward.
然后看我们从我们这个起点上面来看，我们怎么样一步一步的能够提高进步。
And again, that's very individual for everyone.
而这个肯定也是因人而异的，不是一个一刀切的一个情况。
Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explained everything to Arjuna, the whole 18 chapters.
就像在《博迦梵歌》里面, Krishna 他向 Arjuna 解释了一切, 他用了18章的篇幅, 来进行了, 全面的述说。
And then Krishna said, I've explained everything to you, now do as you wish to do.
那最后的时候, 他对 Arjuna 又这么说, 我已经向你解释了。 一切, 那你可以, 你现在可以去做你想做的。
So we have to be very thoughtful to understand what is actually going to help us in our devotional service and in our marriages.
所以说我们一定要去深思熟虑这样的一个问题, 到底什么是最适合 我们现在有助于我们的婚姻生活, 有助于我们的灵修生活的, 一定要考虑的全面而周到。
And your marriage is a part of your devotional service.
而且别忘了, 婚姻生活还是你的灵性服务的奉献服务的一部分。
And you may say, but my spouse, my husband is not a devotee.
那你可能说的你的丈夫不是一个奉献者,
but he just doesn't know he's a devotee.
但只不过是他还不知道他是你自己是个奉献者而已。
And it may take some time or maybe even a lifetime or two before he realizes he's a devotee.
有的时候他可能需要一些时间，甚至用一生的这个时间才能明白他实际上是一个奉献者。
So your service to Krishna and Srila Prabhupada may be to just simply live peacefully with your non-devotee husband and gradually progress yourself.
所以说呢，你继续的为施拉帕帕和你的灵性导师做奉献服务，和你的丈夫在一起，然后很好的也去服务他，就然后呢，你就稳步的、慢慢的在你的生活当中得到进步。
And a part of that progression in that relationship is having a civil, affectionate relationship with your husband.
那么在这个灵性进步的这个当中呢，那其中的一个部分就是在你的婚姻当中，你要和你的丈夫愉快的生活，跟他保持一个非常好的一种愉悦的一种婚姻关系。
And that's going to involve you coming to terms with that part of the equation that involves sex desire.
所以说这个就是你要在这个等式当中，你要全面的去考虑各个因素了。你婚姻当中需要提到各个因素，其中就包括性生活的这一个因素。
Is this
next?
Yes.
Next question? Yeah. 我们发现自己的亲人中有的年纪很大，却仍然还有性需求，甚至会在婚外找年轻女子来满足自己的需求，而且还会对对方花巨资取悦对方，不惜家破人亡。请问这位亲人的未来会是什么呢？那位女孩不劳而获挥霍这些金钱，她的未来会怎样？如果他们还是执迷，我该 among our relatives, sometimes we would find some relatives, although quite aged, but still have very strong sexual desire, to the extent that they would find some young girls outside of the marriage to satisfy their needs. And moreover, they would spend a huge amount of money to please that young girl, and the whole family was broken and bankrupt. So what would be the future of our relatives? And for that young girl who didn't do anything but just extravagantly using those money, what would happen to her if they still couldn't realize their mistakes, how can I help my relatives to be free from this kind of sinful activities?
That may be very difficult if you are not in a position to have influence.
如果说你所在的这个位置其实也对他没有什么影响力，换句话说，你怎么做对他也不会有产生特别明显的效果的，那可能就会挺难的。
In some situations, all you may be able to do is give them prasadam.
但很多时候，可能你唯一能做的就是给他们一些 prasadam.
Lots of prasadam.
而且要很多很多的 prasadam. 很多 prasadam.
Srila Prabhupada was once talking to a reporter and trying to explain to him how he was not the body.
有一次呢，施拉帕帕跟一个新闻记者在进行交流，然后呢，他试图去向对方解释说，为什么我们不是，你不是这个躯体。
Prabhupada was explaining in so many ways, so many beautiful, very simple examples, and the man could not understand.
那施拉帕帕是从各个角度用了很多非常美妙的一些比喻。类比试图向他说明这个要点，但是对方怎么样也听不明白，无法领会。
And then finally, you could hear Prabhupada say to the side, "Just give him prasadam."
然后后来你就在这个录像当中，你就会听到施拉帕帕就转到另外一个疯癫的那里，悄悄地跟他说，就给他 prasadam 吧。
A very difficult situation because you obviously care for your relatives. But if you are in a situation where they're not going to listen to you, that's probably the only thing you're going to be able to do is give them prasadam and let them see that you are happy in your life. And maybe one day they will ask, why are you happy?
所以呢，如果说你身处这样的一个状况，对方就是年纪很大，你对他说一些什么可能也没有什么影响力，那么你唯一能做的可能就是给他一些 prasada， 同时你要在他的面前要让他感觉到你是一个非常快乐健康满足的这样一个人，或许未来某一天他们就会来问你说，哎，为什么你过得这么好，为什么你这么开心呢，那你可能就会有机会了，反正就是给很多很多 prasada 给他。
And you got, you know, a good vision of how, you know, improperly applied sex life just degrades a person. We can see that it, you know, that's there also.
而且他们自己也会看到了他们的这种无度的性生活，这种婚外的这些事情，其实真的是让他们堕落下去，他们得承担特别糟糕的这个后果。这个也是显而易见的，就是他们堕落。
Srila Prabhupada, he once received a report that one disciple had gone to a prostitute.
有一次 Srila Prabhupada 呢，听到有人向他汇报说，有一个奉献者去找妓女去了。
And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Does he not have a wife?"
Does he have a wife?
Doesn't he have a wife?
他难道没有妻子、没有夫人吗？那Srila Prabhupada就询问说。
And Srila Prabhupada said, the devotee said, "Well, Prabhupada, if he has sex with his wife, but not just for procreation, is that not sinful?"
那就是说，然后这个门徒就询问Srila Prabhupada说。那他要是在家里面不是出于生育的目的去跟他的妻子有性生活的话，那这个算不算是这个罪恶活动？
And Prabhupada's reply was that sex life in marriage, it's not sinful, but it does not bring advancement.
那施拉帕帕的回答是这样，他说这样的一种在婚姻中的性生活，他不能算是罪恶活动，但是他却不能让他得到进步。
So that's a very big difference.
所以这个就是之间的这个区别啊，这个婚外婚内的这个区别所在。 Okay. Let's see. Sati Matajina, have you any other questions? You want to add anything?
Another point I wanted to make is that any devotee can find any justification to engage in sexual activities and finding those justification in Prabhupada's books.
就是说呢，就是有一些人，他们可以在Śrīla-Prabhupāda的书里面去找到一些借口。 来说明他们的这种性生活是有理的。
And you'll find those justification all the way up to the ninth canto.
可以，因为你可以一直在佛家瓦坛里面看到那些所谓的理由，可以一直看到第九篇都有。
The dealings between the apsaras and the demigods and the way they dress and how they feel. I mean, it's like
那些因为佛家晚餐里面有很多这个部分呢，那些 apsara 呀，还是那些半神人，有的时候就是描绘着那些女子她们穿这个穿着呀是怎样的，她们的形体是怎样的，有很多这方面的描述。
And those topics are chosen by Shukadev Goswami purposely.
而Shukadev Goswami 是特意选择了这些
to test the level of advancement and purity because. If you haven't gone over this, don't even try to step into the 10th canto.
他故意在这第一篇到第九篇当中啊，很多地方都讲到了这些话题。其实他有一个暗含的一个深意，就是说你没有经历这一切的话，你不要奢望着说你立刻就跳到了那个第十篇，你能明白，你能懂，就是你必须要突破前面所讲的那些状况。
So the dilemma is, where are we at and how are we going to find a mature way to actually advance? That's the dilemma and that's what we all have to figure out.
所以现在的问题的关键就在我们一定要有一种自我的反思。我们究竟处在一个什么样的一个位置？然后我们怎么样才能找到一种成熟的一种方式，使得我们自己在灵性上能够精进？
So I have put this in my head for a long time.
Continue.
And I've come up with this, with the following.
那有一个话题，我在我的脑子里转悠了好一段时间了。然后我最后呢，有这样的一个结论。
Because we're in a material body, because we're in a material environment, you will not get away from sexual desires.
就是说你呢，因为现在还拥有这么一个物质的躯体的束缚，而且还在一个物质的环境当中，所以要完全的去摆脱这种性的欲望，还做不到。And
therefore I concluded, this is just me, okay? Therefore I concluded that spiritual life is not about being free from sex desires. Spiritual life is about pure chanting. And if you are attached sexually, you will not be able to chant purely. Finish.
那我们怎么样来理解什么叫做灵性的进步呢？灵性进步的标志不是说你已经完全的摆脱了性欲啊性欲望，而是说你要达到一个纯粹的念诵的一个境界，这代表 你的灵性上的这个完美纯粹了。那么，但是如果你沉溺于或者说还依附于性欲、性生活，你就永远不可能纯粹的念诵，是这样一个关系。
As Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, you can't mix, you know, gold and base metal. Oil and water can never mix. It's not possible. It's not compatible.
就像 Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami 他说的一样，就是说。 油和水是没有办法相融的。So,
if you want to chant purely, you've got to get rid of this.
如果说你的目标就是我一定要纯粹的去念诵的话，那毫无疑问，你必须要驱除你的性欲。Because
yogis do control their senses.
因为瑜伽师他们是控制感官的。But
they don't get Krishna.
但是他们却达不到 Krishna， 他们没有办法拥有 Krishna。
So concentrate on your chanting, and everything else will fall into place.
Yes.
I think that relates a lot to what Prabhupada said, how chanting of Hare Krishna is not an artificial imposition upon the mind.
Yes.
就是师父他说呢，念诵圣名不是说对一种你的心意的一种刻意的强迫。
And by gradually chanting and improving our chanting, everything else will come naturally.
Yes.
那你通过你认真的去坚持去念诵，并且在念诵圣名上面不断的进步，其他的一切自然而然也就会自然会到了，就是水到渠成。
Knowing where we're going and what standards we're trying to achieve.
但是你要非常清楚你的目标是什么，你的要达到的这个标准是什么。
So, if you have a husband or a partner or whatever who is in a different place with their sexual desire than you, and in order to help the other person, you're helping the other person. Don't feel guilty about it, because that guilt can impede your chanting. You have to see that instead you're doing some service to help the other person advance. So take it as that and just advance yourself.
That's, yeah. 你跟你的这个，不管是你的丈夫还是你的配偶，那他的对这个性的这个要求跟你是不一样的。那你也不要就是说，有的时候他有这个欲望的时候，你呢也是，就不要这种一味的拒绝，也是可以去满足他的。但是你要不要因为说，因为我，但是你不要有一种内疚感。 就是你去满足他，你把他作为一个对他的一个服务帮助他去进步的这么一个过程。但是你不要有这种内疚感，因为你过度的内疚愧疚之后，可能你的念诵都念诵不好。那等于就是对你的灵性的这个生活有一个很大的影响。That's
the story of the Brahman and the prostitute.
这个其实就是那婆罗门和妓女的这个故事，其实就可以说明这个问题。
Yeah. So did you want to end here? It's late, or did you have any more questions?
Yeah. 好，那我们今天的这个已经时间已经到了，我们今天就讲到这里吧。 Okay.
So
thank you very much, Pastor Fabian Wittmann. Thank you so much for getting up so early to give us a wonderful and practical class. Okay.
We hope you're better equipped. From this discussion, we hope you're better equipped to handle a hot potato.
希望说听完了我们今天对这个问题的探讨之后呢，大家就能够更懂得怎么样去处理你那个烫手的山芋了，好吧？OK，感谢大家的聆听。那么如果有进一步的问题的话，还可以通过 Sati Manaji 再发过来，我们下周在课上再进一步解决。非常的。 感谢Prabhu和Manaji给我们今天的这种这么契合实际的一个讲课，也希望大家能够更多的去思考。非常感谢大家，我们两星期之后还是星期天的晚上7点半再见。Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Take care. Have a nice day.
Hare Krishna.